You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Speak plainly, will you? Just say what you mean. How many times have you said that to somebody? I know that I've said it 8 million times, probably, in my career, usually to politicians who aren't speaking plainly, who really aren't disclosing any information at all. I have with me in the studio Darlene Shura. She is the principal of the Canadian Center for Clear Communication. Not the CEO, not the executive director, but the principal. How very academic of you.
Thank you, Dale. It's my pleasure to be here today and hopefully talk plainly for the next 30 minutes.
So far you have, I must say. Now, International Plain Language Day happens on Saturday. That means truly international, all around the world, people are attempting to speak plainly?
That's right. It's truly international. We have many countries participating, including right across Canada and the States and globally, Sweden, Australia, many English-speaking countries internationally as well. Just holding events to raise public awareness and also to educate people about plain language and what it is.
Well, when you talk about speaking plainly, in what kind of situations are you talking about?
Well, we're really focusing largely on the written word.
Okay.
So documents that the public would read from businesses, from government, services that the public would use, are they presented in a way that's clear and easy to understand? And ultimately, the test is the first time. We want that simplicity and ease of communication for the ordinary person. And that's the catch. A lot of the people that produce the information are either more educated or just better readers in general than what we know is true of the general population. And there's also a case of preference, reader preference. We all enjoy reading things that are not hard to get through, especially functional information like, you know, how to apply for your driver's license or things
like
that.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever enjoyed reading many documents that would suggest how to do things like that. And when you talk about documents like insurance policies, that sort of thing, all kinds of government documents would fall in that same category. They need a little bit of plain language applied to them, don't they?
Exactly. And there has been a push for many decades, actually, in different governments, both in Canada and outside, to have government regulations and information in plain language. The United States passed the Plain Writing Act in 2010 with President Obama, which asks all agencies and departments to communicate clearly with the public. And that's
it's easy to ask for something. It's hard to get it, isn't
this
it?
This is it. And sometimes it is baby steps in different industries. It is a challenge to reach that test of plain language.
Because in some you can imagine a situation where you might be applying for a pension or something like that, or some government benefit. You didn't truly understand what you were applying for. You might be turned down because of your own misunderstanding of what the form was all about. You might sign a contract that has all kinds of hidden perils in it with some ne'er-do-well company. So there can be some reasonably dire financial outcomes because of a lack of plain language.
That's right. And in Ontario, we do have the Consumer Protection Act of 2002.
Oh, well, we all feel better because of that.
Right? So, but at least we know that the expectation is set that organizations, the onus is on the organization to communicate clearly,
right,
and that at least there is some legal protection for consumers in that case.
I've had a lot of dealings over the years with the insurance industry, and if they've been in the past the champions of good grief, what are they talking about in paragraph four? And I know the Insurance Bureau of Canada has been trying to make some efforts to bring plain language more to the fore, and I think maybe in a couple of cases they have. But boy, oh boy, there's a lot of work yet to be done, in my estimation. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. There is a lot of work to be done. There has been some good effort. There are certainly a lot of pressure on insurance companies and financial companies. The Ontario Securities Commission on the financial institution side, investment side, is certainly setting standards and requiring organizations to step up to the plate. But it is slow, and it is a challenge to meet that test, as I said, of plain language.
But it's always been my experience as well that a lot of these complex documents are, in fact, written by lawyers. No offense, I have lawyers who are good friends of mine, I think, but written by lawyers, essentially with the purpose in mind of protecting the butt of the government agency or the corporation involved. And that's why, by the time mere mortals get to read it, they don't know what's going on.
That's right. It's a question of who is the contract written for. Is it written for a court to read, or is it written for the two parties, especially if one of them is a consumer?
I vote for the former, I think.
Exactly. And so this is the practice that we're trying to shift by raising awareness. And there is a lot of education, even in law schools now. I'm quite pleasantly surprised to learn that there are plain language courses, there are workshops, there's remedial education for lawyers. We want to reform them, and there is that practice underway.
By the same token, we know the beauty and complexity, we think it's still there, of the English language. And the law, very complex in itself. And so words in a contract must be written respecting those principles. So it's got to be a little complex, if you know what I mean. It has to be at least detailed. And it must be some trick to turn some of that into something that an ordinary person could understand.
It is a great art, for sure, and it takes both a legal background and a plain language background. And it is somewhat rare to find that. We do have great proponents in Canada. Cheryl Stevens comes to mind, for example, in Vancouver, who is really a world-leading expert in that field. Mm-hmm. And we have people like that that are leading that charge and trying to work with the Canadian Bar Association, other legal groups, to do that. It's certainly top of mind. the legal area has led some of the plain language reform in Canada for a few decades now.
Now, you brought a whole sheaf of papers there, and you told me just before we started talking, you brought in some examples of some pretty turgid writing. Maybe you'd like to share that with us?
Well, for Toronto on Saturday, we're holding this event to celebrate International Plain Language Day. And so we prepared a few samples that we will share at the event.
Okay.
And we certainly welcome people to bring in
Bring your own examples, right?
Bring your gobbledygook and we'll help you solve it and create a clear plain language version. But we took a gas bill and we looked at the explanation of the late payment fees.
Gas bill, okay.
And may I read the...
By all means.
It's a short excerpt.
Darlene Shura reading from a gas bill.
I'll try to do it poetically. an OEB-approved late payment charge equal to 1.5% per month or 18% per annum, bracket for an effective rate of 19.56% per annum, multiplied by a total of all unpaid gas distribution charges, will be added to your bill if full payment is not received by the late payment effective date below. One sentence. A late
one
payment
sentence,
charge.
Right. Big breath. One
yes,
sentence.
A late payment charge calculated and assessed in the same manner will also be added to your bill if full payment for all other charges on your bill is not received by July 3rd, 2012.
Okay. I kind of get it. I mean, I think I understand what they're saying, but good grief. It takes some effort to figure that out, when in effect it could have been made so much simpler, right?
And that's what we did, so I'd be happy to read you the after version.
Darlene Shura, with the same gas bill information, now read in a comprehensive manner.
If we do not receive your payment for the total amount due by July 3rd, 2012, we will add a late payment charge to your next bill. The charge will be 1.5% a month, multiplied by the total you owe to us. For example, if you owed $100, the late payment charge would be $1.50. We will keep charging 1.5% a month on all of the money you owe, including the interest, for as long as you do not pay. Over a year, that would equal a compounded interest rate of 19.56%. This interest rate is approved by the Ontario Energy Board, which regulates the province's natural gas sector.
Now, does speaking, that I get. Does speaking plainly take more ink?
Sometimes, because sometimes the strategy is, for example, to include an example.
Well, that's a very good strategy, I think, in terms of comprehensibility, isn't it?
Exactly. It really helps illuminate for people. If they haven't got the abstract concept, they can get it through a concrete example. So we have many strategies that we use. We tend to talk directly to readers. You may have noticed we talk to you if we do not receive your payment.
So it's
more like spoken word in that sense. We are taking some of the techniques that we know make conversation easy. to understand, and we're applying them here. Shorter sentences, more natural vocabulary, where appropriate. We simplify, but we try to maintain a style. Yeah. And so it's trying to find that happy medium for readers.
Do we need a law or something?
We would sure love to see a law like they have in the U.S. now, the Plain Writing Act, or something like this.
Even if it's just a message, mm-hmm. I mean, enforcing that kind of thing would be incredibly difficult, but even if it's just a message to companies and other government bureaucracies to try and speak plainly.
Exactly.
I mean, write plainly.
And that's one of the efforts that the plain language community, there are a number of professionals, including myself, that are grouping together now. And I'm mm-hmm. part of an international organization called Plain. And we are really promoting working within our countries and then sharing experience and expertise and knowledge so that we can approach governments and lobby effectively for this movement.
You might even take this to an extreme, say, in terms of labeling for some medication that you're taking. Some of that is pretty turgid stuff. There might even be, and I'm not trying to exaggerate the situation, might there even be health ramifications in terms of the issues of not speaking plainly?
That's right. And the health industry is certainly sitting up and paying attention. There is always a lot of user testing on packaging.
Could they print it
so
in
on.
Somewhat but larger print, too?
For Zoomers,
so
yes,
I don't need
please.
A magnifying glass to see it?
Exactly. That's part of it. But that is actually part of what we look at. We look at the design.
Really?
And there is
yeah.
a whole industry, a small industry of professionals that work in the area of clear form design.
Yeah. Haven't you ever heard of a paragraph? You know what I mean? It's
yes.
one solid block of ink. Yeah. Okay, Darlene Shura is here on the upcoming event, International Plain Language Day. She's the principal of the Canadian Center for Clear Communication.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
We're back with Darlene Shura, the principal of the Canadian Center for Clear Communication. This is the glass half full segment. Before it was the glass half empty, looking at all the negative aspects of documents not written plainly. In fact, I think, Darlene, in some cases, progress has been made.
Yes.
Give us a good example of that.
Well, a good example of that is within the Ontario government, and I know we've been talking about transparency, but they have mm-hmm. been redoing a lot of information on their websites, including information about health, so about the OHIP system, for example, in plain language, Ministry of Consumer Services, plain language brochures,
right.
about your rights as a consumer. So these things are all very helpful. In the financial industry, we're seeing strides made in investor information, and there are clear requirements now from the Ontario Securities Commission to hold organizations accountable. It's slow progress, and
yeah.
we're still pushing the boundaries there and trying to get to that test, as I said, of plain language, that you can really read it easily the first time. But when you think about pension information, for example, that information, you know, for your audience is critical. And how
mm-hmm.
easy is it yet to read about your pension, understand how it works?
It's not easy. I can
it's
tell you
easy.
That right now.
Yeah.
Even when you get a bureaucrat on the radio to explain it, sometimes even the spoken word is not that clear. Now, but you deal mainly with the written word. That's really where your focus is, right? My problem is getting politicians to speak plainly or to speak at all, but that's another issue. But you're dealing mainly with the printed word, right?
That's right.
Okay. Another success story, and then I'll go to the phones. Give me one more.
Well, I think, again, looking at the financial industry, the banks themselves and mm-hmm. mortgage statements, there has been effort here, and some banks have made major strides in providing clear mortgage contracts. Contract law itself is an area where we're seeing progress, but not always. It really varies from contract to contract what you're going to encounter.
Does it mean, in the extreme, that we would come to the day when even legislation would be written so that it could be understandable? We're talking about manuals, documents, guides, individual contracts you might sign with a company or an application for government. But what about the legislation itself? I know it has to be precise, as we said earlier, but sometimes it is so turgid, it's incredibly difficult for anybody to make their way through a piece of legislation.
Yes, and actually, as part of the Plane Riding Act in the U.S., President Obama issued an executive order requiring legislation to be drafted in plain language.
Well, that would be part of that would certainly be part of a law you would want to see here in Canada,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. We would really dream for that. Right now, what happens typically is legislation is drafted in legal language, and plain language guides are created around some of the cases, especially to support compliance, because we know that with plain language, people comply better with legislation. They understand it better. They can comply
better. Well, you have to understand in order to comply, don't
you? Exactly.
Okay, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. If you have some thoughts about plain language in Canada, here is Ron on the line from East York. What are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, I think this is along the same lines as what your guest is saying. 25, 30 years ago, I had a cousin that worked for a well-known advertising polling company, surveying company.
Yeah.
And at family get-togethers, he would ask, do you want a yes answer or no yes, no answer? He would ask the question, I forget, was 8 words or 9 words he used.
Yeah.
And you said you want a yes answer. Of course, everybody would answer yes. He would take those same 8 or 9 words, rearrange them, and the automatic answer was always going to be no.
Was this guy a pollster?
Well, he worked for polling cod and advertising company.
Oh, I see.
Just by rearranging those words, you can get a yes answer or no answer, whatever you want.
Well, it's very easy to manipulate a language, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about
it. I call it babbly-gook English.
Babbly-gook. I call it
English.
All right, babbly-gook.
That's
all right.
A good one.
That's a good word, Ron. Thanks very much.
Okay.
All right, babbly-gook. I've heard of gobbly-gook, but he has an interesting point, doesn't he?
Yes, to be able to turn things around is quite an art, and certainly that speaks to transparency and lack of real honest divulgence, I guess.
Well, because in fact, some of those contracts I was talking about that might be considered iffy contracts are written very much to conceal. You know, I mean, there can be some pretty bad attitude on behalf of some lawyers writing contracts for a fly-by-night a company in which you sign and it looks okay, but in there somewhere are enough weasel words to really bind you to that contract.
That's right. And how many of us read contracts in detail in the first place?
We like to say that we do, but I don't. Do we?
That's right. We're intimidated by the language, so we tend not to, or we tend to trust the organization. If we're dealing with a bank or some other reputable organization, and trust that what they've got in there is not really going to damage us in any way to sign it. But this is the issue, is how, if we don't have an informed public that really can understand contracts that they're entering into, can understand government information and policy, what kind of a democratic society can we really have? I mean, information is the foundation. Clear information for everyone at the reading level that's appropriate for the widest number of people. And we know from reader preference and testing and literacy statistics that actually tends to be grade 7 to 9.
Well, that's in fact the basis for language in newspapers.
Exactly.
Basically, that that level, and that's fine. But a lot of this stuff is not at that level at all.
No, I mean, if I were testing documents with reading assessment tools, they would often score in the high teens or even higher sometimes. Legal language itself often is either off the charts, or you would have to have two degrees, basically, to be able to read that easily the first time.
Right.
It's very complex.
Now, on International Plain Language Day, you have a little function here in Toronto. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, we're getting together at the ING Cafe, which is down at Dundas Square, Yonge and Shooter Street, from 2 to 4 p.m. It's just a drop-in event, and there'll be a number of professionals like myself there to chat with our guests, and we are going to present examples like the gas bill of clear language before and after examples, so you can see the gobbledygook first and how we would like organizations to be presenting it so that it's easy for the public to read. We're also inviting the public to bring your favorite pieces of gobbledygook, the difficult bills and statements.
Now, you're saying goop, and I believe I was saying gook.
Gook. Actually, it's both, yes.
Okay, all right, okay. Just, I just want to be plain
about it. A lack
about
of clarity, yes.
I just want to be plain about about that because I think we were saying using a different word there.
That's okay, right. And that happens in English, too. I mean, the whole watching the evolution of the English language is, of course, fascinating. And what people understand and what words are well-known at any given time change.
Or the growing problem with people using $5 words and not understanding what they mean.
Yes.
The language gets dumbed down. It loses its precise nature. It may gain something in clarity, but if it loses something in particular meaning, I think some of us moan about that as well. Maybe that's the other side of the argument. I don't know.
That's the other side. So it's always that balance of finding the simplicity that you can manage with the topic that you're addressing.
Yeah.
And it's not, even with law, the concepts sometimes are so complex, you're not going to be able to make it understandable for everyone.
No, you never will, of course.
There are some complexities there, but we make an effort where we can to bring that complexity down and wrestle with that, you know, using our legal and plain language expertise together to
well, and imagine the situation that a person somewhat new to the country or the city where English is not their first language. Them struggling through some of these things literally would be literally impossible, some of this complex language.
That's right, and it's really disenfranchises people. People cannot participate fully if they cannot understand the language that's in front of them, you know, in their written documents from governments and so on. So it really is a justice issue as much as anything. It's about building an inclusive society where people can participate fully and understand the issues of the day. And that affects print, both print and, as you said, verbal communication.
Yeah. Here's Jim from Hanover. What are your thoughts, Jim?
Well, I have a question. I have a fellow sign a document with me. His name is illegible. He signed it, but it's just a scribble. You wouldn't say that was his name. Would that stand up in court as legal? Or?
Well, if the signature, I mean, you're a little off our topic. If the signature could be proven to be the signature of a certain person, it would stand up, sure.
Even though you couldn't read it, it's just a scribble across?
Well, sure, yeah, if it ever went to court. I mean, that's what your lawyer would do if you were taking the guy to court. If it's his signature, it's his signature, and he would be put on the stand. And you've seen it on TV. Is that your signature? Why, yes, it is. Okay, game over, right?
Right.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks very much. Little bit of legal stuff there, and so I put on my practicing a law hat without a license to help answer that question. Darlene, thank you very much for coming in and talking about this. It's very interesting. I wish you how will you measure success on International Plain Language Day?
Well, it's a building process. This is the second annual International Plain Language
Only
Day.
Only the second,
Only
is it?
The second.
Where have we been on
actually,
this?
Actually, and today I heard earlier on the news it's International Girls Day, the first one. So,
International Girls Day?
Yes.
On
yes,
the same day?
Today. No, today.
Today
yes,
is?
Yes.
Every day. I mean, there's no such thing as Tuesday anymore, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
So we are connecting with some virtual communication with Vancouver and Ottawa to try to share what's happening on the streets and in our events.
Yeah.
So there'll be a virtual program on the day, and we're very excited about that. But ultimately, what we're hoping is next year we will come back and we'll have Toronto declare this day International Plain Language Day. It's happened already in Vancouver and Calgary.
Uh-huh.
So we're hoping for that for next year. We'll have a bigger and, you know, we'll continue to grow this awareness of the day. And really, it's to shine a light on the need for plain language for all public-facing communication.
Well, then at that point, you'll have to come back and tell us all about it.
Yes, bigger and better next year.
Okay. Darlene Scherer, thank you very much. Darlene Scherer is principal of the Canadian Center for Clear Communication.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.